Every person, I don't care where we are, I don't care what denomination or anything like that, every person has that opportunity. It's just that some avail themselves of it and some don't. But assuming you've had the experience, then there you can follow the pattern of the Son, because you are declared to be a son of God by the resurrection, the same resurrection power that quickened his body can quicken your body and make you do strange or what we call supernatural things in the physical realm. If that's happened to you, now you have the same testimony. In Romans chapter 6, verse 5, we find something that really threw me for a turn, and I didn't see it before. Baptism is a likeness of his death, but newness of life is the new life we're living is a likeness of the resurrection. I'm going to do that again. Most of us were taught by the preacher that when we got baptized, we went, and I'll assume that you were evangelical, and it wasn't a sprinkling or dunking, but what? Immersion. And I'm not here to teach baptism in forms, but we'll assume that you followed this particular priest. And he says, as you go in to the water, it's the likeness of his burial. And then as you come up, have you heard the preacher say? It's the what? The likeness of his resurrection. That's what the preacher said, but that's not what the Bible said. I'm going to do that again. The preacher said coming up out of the water is like newness of life, the resurrection. But what the Bible says is the new life you live is in the likeness of the resurrection. So then the burial is like the death, and the coming up could be a symbol of new life. That's all right. But it's the new life that you are living that's the symbol of the resurrection, not the fact that you came out of the water. That's the symbol of the resurrection. Now, it's a little technical, and I hope I'm not overdoing it, but I want to see this. I want to get this point across. Also, just for your attention and also for the tape, 1 Peter 3:21 tells the same thing about baptism being a symbol of the death. And then Peter says very clearly, for the resurrection, baptism doth now in a like figure save us, like the resurrection. But then he says, Peter, not the washing with water, but the power of a new life. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where I've been trying to head out all this time, so turn with me now. We're doing a lot of reading on this difference. And this is the question that started me out on this study. Somebody said, well, Dave, what in the resurrection, when they all come back, what are they going to be like and what kind of body they're going to have? 1974, I came from Texas, went to Indianapolis, Indiana, and there I buried my father's body. I did not conduct my father's funeral. I conducted my mother's funeral on the occasion of my father's death. Now, I'll let you think about that for a minute. I conducted my mother's funeral on the occasion of my father's death. Now, think for a while. Dad didn't need a funeral. He was dead and gone 4 days before we conducted the funeral. It was not. Can you see that? Now, normally we would think it was Dad's. I conducted Dad's, you know, I conducted Dad's funeral. It was for my mother, because I conduct for the living, not the dead. You see, that kind of thing. And everything that I said was directed toward helping the living, not making it easy for the dead. So, let's talk about Dad. What did I bury? Dad? Did I bury Dad? I don't think so. I buried the bag of bones, thing he used to live in. This old house. Remember Stuart Hamlin's? This old house. And I didn't bury my dad. I just buried that old house, the one he used to live in. 4 days before he departed that, and he was up in heaven. What was in heaven? Spirit, soul, or body? Spirit. Body was buried. That made sense. Next question. In the resurrection, what's coming back? Well, the answer is here. We're going to get it out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to find out about my dad. I'm going to use my dad as this example because I can get away with it. I could be talking about your aunt, your mother, your husband, wife. You know, you follow what I'm driving at, but This will be bad. And then I believe we'll all be together. First, I'll start over here in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, 12. Got a lot of reading to do. When I'm reading fast, can you follow anyway? And when I read slow, you know why I slow down, don't you? When I slow down, that's where I'm going to stop. See, it's a little bit like a bus driver. Now Christ be preached that he rose from the dead. How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no anesthesia of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if the dead not raise up. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the anesthesia, the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall those who give their heart to Jesus and come to our altar and sign our membership card be made alive. Oh, did I do that wrong? Oh, did I do that wrong? Well, what's it say? As in Christ all die, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall what?
All?
Oh, it's probably a mistake there, so cross. Well, now, wait a minute. Let's think about that for a minute. In what realm, what died when Adam died? Spirit, soul, body. Watch it. Now, watch it. Get the picture now. Here's Adam. He talked with God in the cool evening. God is a? They that worship him must worship him in? What part of Adam talked with God?
Spirit.
So, Adam ate of the tree of, what's the next word? Knowledge. And soul became preeminent. And he tried to make his decisions based on the mind soul instead of the heart spirit. So God came along and gave him then there was the big flap there. So he sent him out. And he put the angel with the flaming sword. You remember all this? Now that he's outside the garden, what's a wee small voice? I'll say in a coma, not quite dead, but close enough to dead. Spirit, what's leading Adam now? See, it's what he doesn't feel. And what really died? Well, technically, it really didn't die because it can't kill spirit, so I'm going to call it in a coma. That'd be the better. As in Adam, the spirits went, said, dormant. Coma, see? So in Christ, all of the spirits are made alive. Now, this is vital. See, in the Old Testament, somebody died, spirit, soul, body went to hell. And there's a whole lot of scriptures on your chart there to tell you what happens to the soul when it goes to hell. When the body goes to hell, it goes to corruption. But what happens to the spirit? We cannot kill the spirit. It goes dormant. It goes in what's called Abraham's bosom and all that kind of stuff. So when Jesus descended into hell, you remember on that occasion, he preached. Come on. To the what? Spirits. The next thing's a little harder, but the Bible's clear. Which were aforetime disobedient. Even the bad spirits. Now, I want you to get the picture. Here's some bad guys. I'll make it hard on you. Here is Judas. You know he got there. I wonder if Judas is in heaven. Not his soul. That's what made him exchange him for 30 pieces of silver. Not his body. Tells you his bowels gushed out. What was preached to? Spirit, soul, or body down there? Spirit. Disobedient spirits? Saul? Pharaoh? Solomon? David? How many know David was a good guy and a bad guy? Good guy and a bad guy. Man after God's own heart. Had a lot of soul trouble too. Come on. You think David's in heaven today? No question about it. David made it all the way. Think Saul did, King Saul? Pharaoh did? Get the picture now. Here Jesus descends down into hell, preaches to the spirits which are four times disobedient. He gets the keys of death on the grave. You remember that in Revelation? Got the keys of death on the grave. Now he goes up. He says, come on, guys, I got the door open. Let's get out of this place. Let's split this joint. And there's one old guy saying, nope, like it here. Going to stay. Now, that's inconceivable to my mind. Some, you know, it says, when he took captivity captive, is that scripture? Descended there, and he took captivity captive. They were captive in hell. And he took that which was captive and made it captive to himself. You follow what I'm driving at? We have any policemen here that know what a come-along is? He took a come-along and put it right on the, that would be like a handcuff, but not quite. And he brought him in. And I don't think that anybody stayed. I believe that when Jesus opened hell's gates, he took even the disobedient spirits. You see, plenty of scripture for this. But not souls, not bodies. Somebody said, well, what do you mean? He bothered that everybody got saved? No. He's wise who saves a soul. I want to say that again. Not all the souls were saved. I never said that. What was saved? Helen said. Spirits, not soul. How many of you, Helen, I know that over your travel as you go around the country and talk to a lot of people, a lot of people misquote me on that, don't they, Helen? Oh, they just misquote on that. Why? Because they cannot, they just do not have the comprehension to divide spirit from soul from body, right? And as we teach these things and we tell people, you say it and they don't hear what you're saying. And they quote you wrong. And say, well, Ebal says we're going to be saved. I never said everybody's going to be saved. I said spirits are, souls won't, bodies won't, but there will be a group who are saved, spirits won't, body. Now, why is that so hard? Well, I guess maybe because, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, a lot of folks just want to hear, they hear what they want to hear instead of hearing what you're really saying. Oh, yeah. Adam all dies from Christ, so all be made alive. Every man in his own order. That's important. But every man in his own order. Now, let's get that straight. In 1 Corinthians 5, there was a guy who was committing incest, and that was going to bed with his father's wife, and he was committed to Satan for the destruction of the body, that the what? Spirit might be in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, every man in his own order. Whether you're following that or not, this guy's a bad guy. He will get to heaven, but in his order. Christ's first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ is coming. Starting an order here. Then come the end, when it shall deliver the kingdom to God, even the Father, when it shall put down all rule, authority, and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be, what is it? Shall be destroyed is death. Now, for he hath put, now this next scripture is going to be a little catchy, so watch it. That's God, hath put all things under his, Jesus' feet. But when he, God, saith all things are put under him, Jesus, it's manifest that he, God, is accepted, which did put all things under him, Jesus. How am I doing? Did I do that wrong? Well, anyway, I'm going to keep going. And when all things shall be subdued unto Jesus, then shall the Son, Jesus, also himself be subject unto God that put all things under the Son, Jesus, that God may be all in all. You see what I did there? Now, I'm not trying to teach Godhead right now, but there's a reference here. And I can't help it, that's what it says. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead raise not at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And all the Mormons said, come on, you Mormons. The Mormon church is the only church that does this right now, isn't it? Baptized for the dead, proxy baptisms? What? You know what I'm talking about. All right, they do that. And this is their scripture for their particular process or what they do. Now I'm going to say baptism for the dead is scriptural and it's used as a proof. It's a good thing and it's used as a proof of point. And it is scriptural, baptized for the dead. Now, when the Mormons baptize for the dead, I do not know whether their process and procedure is scriptural or not. I hope I'm clear on this. Baptism for the dead is scriptural. The Mormon process may be scriptural, may not. I don't know. I haven't studied it. Is anybody upset? Now how many think I'm a Mormon? I'm just trying to explain that there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with baptizing for the dead. There may be and there may not be with the Mormons. Yes.
You mean tell me that they actually
No, not the dead. There was a proxy baptism. Have you ever put somebody in a chair and had a proxy prayer for healing?
That's a proxy.
Yes, it's a proxy baptism. And they actually, in the Mormon church, go through a proxy. They take people and proxy. I lay upon hands upon you, and now you're your grandma and you're your grandpa and you're, you know, this kind of stuff, and by proxy. Well, we kind of laugh and say, isn't that funny? But we turn right around and put somebody in the chair and say, now I'm going to pray for you by proxy for your son who's in the army over in Germany. You've done that. And you laughed at the Mormons and did it yourself. You see what I'm driving at? So the proxy idea is not a new idea. It's been around in the church for a long time. And we participate, at least in the healing realm, by proxy. But we ignore this particular scripture. And I'm not setting up a denomination where we start doing it. I'm just trying to explain that that's one of the scriptures I have to read. Okay, if the dead rise not at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, and what avengeth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now that's the main question. That's the whole question of this lesson. We will not read the next two words. And we'll go on from there. That which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Do that again. When you put a grain of corn into the ground, it does not turn into a new live plant until the grain of corn dies. And what thou sowest not the body that shall be, but it's going to give some more grains of corn or something. It may be a chance wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as pleased him, to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, one kind of flesh of men, another beasts, another fishes and birds. The celestial body is body terrestrial, the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. Glory of the sun, glory of the moon, glory of another, glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory, so also is the Anastasia, the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Now, you remember one of the first scriptures we had in Luke 14? If you throw a feast for the poor, the meaning, the lame, the blind, you're going to get your recompense at the resurrection. Now you've got a scripture that says in the resurrection there's going to be a difference in glory. So then all will not come with the same illumination. All will not return with the same, can I say, aura, light, doxa, glory. That's... Let me try it another way. How can I say it? The more you do for your fellow man, the more they're going to turn the variac up in the resurrection. I don't know whether that made sense to you or not. The light dimmer. It's going to control the setting on the light dimmer. You understand? Your candles on a hill. You remember all this? It controls your candle power. And some will come as birthday candles. And some will come as brilliant illuminating spotlights or searchlights. And various degrees, we're going to have a lot of 100 watt bulbs. You understand what I'm getting at, you see? Because then your brilliance, your light, your glory will be controlled by what you've done here and now. I hope I'm coming across on this. You see, some of us get this whole thing wrong, and some of us think we're going to work out our salvation. Some churches teach that. And others say, oh no, that's not the way you get saved, it's by Jesus Christ. And I agree more with that. But now you're seeing that there are some realms where you can get your brownie points. And you can get some chalk marks that are going to control how high the variax turned. But that's not my goal, to get the high glory in the resurrection. I want to be alive and remain. I want to overcome the last enemy, which is death. And I personally don't want to go through the resurrection of the spiritual body. I prefer to be in the physical mortal body, which the Bible says will put on a glory just like Jesus had. Matthew chapter 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Romans chapter 12. And I want that glory on the physical body. You see what I'm driving at now? Well, let's read some more and see if we do. So also is the anesthesia of the dead. It's son of corruption, raised in incorruption. Son of dishonor, daddy was sold in dishonor. Now that may surprise you. We gave him all the honor we could. The casket was as pretty as we could get. But do you know what the Bible says in Romans? Who has the power of death? Say it. Satan. Now, in the funerals, we never say that. We say, God took him. Come on. In the funerals, we say, God took him. But that's not what the Bible says. God gave the power of death to the devil, the Satan, the adversary. And it was Satan that put the old clincher in that day. You see? Death, in any form, can never be joyous. Even in the emaciated body. It was once 180 pounds, now down to 70 pounds. Nothing but a bag of bones. Still not joy. Sometimes a relief, but it's not joy. Can you follow what I'm driving at? And, I used to think maybe God did it, but now I see it. It's not that way. Son of dishonor, raised in glory. Son of weakness, raised in power. Now you read the next verse to me. It's son of what? What did I put in the grave in New Palestine Cemetery? My father's natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, and there's a difference. But if you learn your theology from the quartet, they don't sing about the spiritual body. What do they sing about? Yeah, the natural. And they're looking for, most of Christianity is not learning theology from the Bible, they're learning it from the quartet, and they're expecting a physical embrace. Now, we will know as we're known, come on, because they're spiritual bodies. And it's so hard to get this across until you've had an experience, a spiritual experience where you've been in a spiritual body. And I guess I'd have to say that a man with an experience is no match. We'll do it the other way. A man with a theology is no match for a man with an experience. Now, I've got both. I've had the personal experience of being in the Spirit for 4 days. You remember when the body was dead. And I got a lot of theology now. And to me, it's so clear. When I was in the spiritual body, there was a body. And it did have a hand. Sometimes. But If you are a cartoonist and you're commissioned to draw a picture of a spirit, what do you draw? Say it. Casper. A sheep, right? Why do you draw a Casper? Because that's what all this. Well, anyway. No, it's because a spirit is like a man. They said to Moses, tell us what God's got. What's he look like? He said, I can't. There's no. The best I can say is like a man. You remember that? Like a man. And so, if we're going to draw a picture of a ghost, we draw kind of a wiggly sheet to cover up body parts because we want to act like the body parts are there, but we don't want to just draw them because they're not there. Now, when a ghost needs a hand jumps out, and it comes back in. And it needs a foot comes out. It's kind of Grob, help me out. words. You know, I don't have words because it's not earthly. I don't have a vocabulary to describe spirit. Spirit's like a man. It has parts when it needs it. I had a hand and he reached down, but when I had a hand, I don't know where the rest of me was. Am I making sense on this? You see, that was the only part that was important while I was holding that. The rest of it, I don't even know whether I had a little toe or not. But if I need a little toe, there'd be one in spirit, if that makes sense. It's kind of an ethereal, nebulous glob. Casper, the friendly ghost. Some kind of a floaty thing, formless, and yet it turns into form when it needs it. I'm not making this up. This is Bible. Well, you see, when you go through a locked door without a key, you're very supernatural. You're spiritual or ghost. But he also had a body that could bite on a fish. Swallow. So he was in a glorified body. Are you hearing the distinction now? Let's do it again. You have a mortal body? He had a mortal body. I don't know whether I call it mortal or immortal, but he proved it later on by the resurrection when he had an immortal body. But when he was walking around on the earth, he died dead, so that would mean the body was mortal at that point. So when the Holy Ghost came on, it was immortal. Daddy gets a spiritual body. But those who are alive and remain in the coming of Christ get a what kind of body? Incorruptible and immortal. Say the word glorified. They get the kind of body Jesus got after the resurrection. They can be expected to do the same supernatural feats that Jesus performed after the resurrection. But you know something? I've looked you over. And you're not ready for a glorified body with your head the way it is. Come on now. You can't rule and reign with your head screwed on the way it is. You've got to get the mind of in order to have that kind of body. Because that body is the body of a God. And I saw thrones, plural, and judgment was given unto them, plural, and they, plural, ruled and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Remember all that scripture? Well, I like that idea. But I'll admit that I'm not ready for it. Can't you see it now? Comes the rapture, here I am. Hallelujah, sitting on my throne. Got me a an orb and a scepter and a crown, sitting there so humbly. I talk to Gabe and I say, Gabby, run out there and fetch me 40 bolts of lightning, because I want to throw them at 40 preachers been disagreeing with me. Now, do you see why I'm not on the throne? Well, now, I did that to myself, but how about you? Can you tell a similar story? Some people you like to square away with? You know what I'm talking about now. Come on. So that's why you're not on the throne, because your head's not ready for the throne yet. Spirit, yes. Heart, good, yes. Perfect in spirit. Perfect in heart. Got to go through some more attitude changes in the soul mind before we get the body we're talking about. Let me read some more here to find out how to do that. This scripture, by the way, is going to tell you how to do it. I've already referred to it once. So natural body raised spiritual body. Natural body, there is a spiritual body. So it's written. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The last man, the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Now he's going to take exception to what I said. He's going to say it, then he takes exception to it. So let me do it again. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. And now he begins to take exception to what he just said. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're not all of us going to die. And I teach like every person I'm talking to is going to live. I don't teach you how to die, I teach you how to live. Everything about my message is a life message, not a death message. Behold, I show a mystery. We'll not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the which trump? Say it to me, I'd just like to hear that. At the which trump? Okay, the last trump. Seventh trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on what? And this mortal must put on? So when the corruptible put on incorruption, the mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Let's do that again. What's corruption? What's incorruption? What's mortal? What's immortal? I'm corruptible, and I'm mortal. It tells you in Romans chapter 8, subject to the bondage of corruption. The creature is made subject to the bondage of corruption, not willingly. It says not willingly. So, because we're not willing to be subject to the bondage of corruption, we go to the drugstore. Then at the drugstore, we buy a tube of this and a bottle of that. And we color this and glue that. Then we buy something to pull this in and push that out. We're falling apart. We're subject to the bondage of, say it, corruption. Now, this may upset some of you theologians, but I'm going to tell you, I've looked through all through the Bible, and I cannot find anywhere that Jesus on the cross paid the price for the bondage of corruption. In fact, I find just the opposite. Not one of you taking thought can change the color of your hair, add one cubit to your statue, remember all this? And Jesus never paid the price for getting old. Come on. I want you to think that in a minute. Paid the price for healing, yes. Salvation, yes. All kinds of neat things. What we call an atonement. But as far as getting old, everybody's still getting old, right? They're falling apart. But one of these days, you're going to quit it. We're going to put on incorruption. I looked up incorruption, found out incorruption is the opposite of corruption. Whereas corruption makes me fall apart, incorruption puts me back together. Ponce de Leon was looking for the fountain of, well, we found it. His name is Jesus Christ. He said, here's the process. First Jesus in the heart, then the Holy Ghost in the head, then the glory of the Father in the physical body, and then you'll be drinking the fountain of youth. And you'll be getting younger instead of older. Behold, I show you a mystery. When not all sleep, will all be changed. The moment twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible and be changed. The corruptible must put on incorruption, mortal must put on immortality. So, when the corruptible put on incorruption, the mortal put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the same as written. Death is swallowed up in... O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now watch it. When the law came, sin revived, and I died. What's keeping you from the resurrection? The law. And when Jesus went through the anesthesia, the resurrection, he broke the law. And the Sturgeons are keeping us out of the new age wherein dwelleth righteousness. You remember that lesson on the Sturgeons, the elements shall melt from an eat. If you didn't hear me teach it, at least you saw it on the slideshow. And what is it that's keeping you from the third salvation? The law. In 1 Corinthians 5:5, we find the story of a man who's going to bed with his father's wife, committing incest. This man was turned over by Paul to Satan for the destruction of the... but that the spirit might be...
Saved.
Now, in church, we would never consider that this man could ever be saved, right? It's just wrong. It's incorrect to think so. But the Bible says that even the spirit of such a man will be saved. Now, what's destroyed? The flesh. But when the flesh is destroyed, according to Psalm 6:5, Psalm 30, verse 9, Psalm 88, 11, Ecclesiastes 9, 10. The soul also is destroyed. Now, I don't have time for all of this right now, but somebody read Ecclesiastes 9, 10 quickly while I talk along. The soul goes through a death or a sleep at the time of the body death. Matthew 10, 28 says, fear not him and destroy the body, but destroy both what? Soul and, not a spirit. Not spirit, soul and body was destroyed. Not spirit. Why? Well, spirits cannot be destroyed. Even the spirits that went to hell in the Old Testament, they were not destroyed. They went to kind of a nebulous Abraham's bosom that had stayed until Jesus got him out. All right, now here's the guy who's a bad man. We admit he's bad. But he's turned over to Satan for the destruction of the body, that the spirit is going to be saved. When? The day of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all shall be saved, and every man in his own, what's the next word? Order. A man in his own order. He is wise who saves a soul. The Bible says that we save souls. Nowhere does it say Jesus saves souls. It says we save souls, Jesus saves spirits. Do that again. Jesus entered the heart. So we go out and send our missionaries, and we say the missionary saved the soul. That's all right. That's technically correct. But it was Jesus that really saved him, got to heaven, not the missionary. The missionary caused him to change their mind. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:3, we're born unto a lively hope by the resurrection. And that hope is for salvation which is reserved in heaven, ready to be revealed in the what? Last time. I'm going to do that again. What power was it that turns within you and makes you hope for body salvation? The same power of the resurrection. Are you seeing it? And if you don't have the power of the resurrection, you're not going to be having this hope. And if you're not having the hope, then you are not going to be first working up the salvation of the soul and standing as a candidate for the salvation of the body. And you're not going to go in until you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Until you'll admit he was dead. He was dead as a doornail, and now he's strong and healthy. And if that's too hard for you, you're not going to be able to make the rest, because you've got to have the same power in you. And if you don't get the same power in your body, you're going to be dead too. You already knew that, didn't you? But by the grace of God and all that lies within us, we're standing as candidates for every change necessary, so we can come all the way through spirit salvation, soul salvation, and body salvation. Be alive in me to come to Christ. That's your first Peter thing. 2 Timothy 2:18 said, some have already erred, saying the resurrection is past. It is not past. It's still for the future. Paul said it wasn't past, even though Jesus went down and got those guys. They said they were kind of first fruits, and they were the first fruits, but the resurrection is for the future. Hebrews 6:12 says, leaving the principles. I'm going to say that again. Leaving those principles. What are the principles? There are six principles, the doctrines of Christ. Let's go on to perfection, and one of them is the resurrection. I'm going to do that again. One of the principles of the doctrine of Christ is the resurrection. Eternal judgment. Remember all this baptism and all of that kind of thing? Now, if you went to a Baptist church, what would you expect them to teach? Baptism or the resurrection? What's the basic principle? Baptism. Now, what I'm trying to get at is right now, I don't know of any church that makes one of its principal cardinal doctrines the resurrection. You see what I'm driving at? It's not a principal cardinal. It's referred to, but it's not a principal cardinal doctrine. And I think that as we continue to develop and, in a sense, perfect in the soul realm, we're going to have to, all of us, participate in all six of the principal cardinal doctrines of Christ. But if we stop and form a denomination around any one of them, then we've stopped at an Nehushtan, which was a truth but becomes a resting place for us. But we want to go on to the seventh step, which is perfection. So therefore, we will not stop at any of these, and even the resurrection itself will be a principal cardinal doctrine, which we will do if the Lord permit. You understand my scripture? But we will not make even the resurrection our final goal, because there's more than that. 11:35, Hebrews 11:35 talks about the fact that there were those who would not accept deliverance to obtain a better resurrection. Now, if you don't remember that, I'll give you a story. By faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith You remember David and Samuel and Jephthah and all the prophets, and then it goes on about the women who saw the children torn asunder. You remember all that kind of thing. And it says, they would not accept the deliverance offered to them then, but they held on to the hope of a better resurrection. All of them. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, you got it? The dead ones were, without us, cannot be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we, the live ones, are surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, the dead ones, he's talking about here, let us, the ones who are alive right here now, go on to perfection, run the race, not falling for the sin that does so easily beset us, because when we make a touchdown, we all get the point. When we win the game, they win the game. We're all in this together. All creation groans, waiting for the manifestation, say it, the sons of God, even those that have gone on. There is going to be a generation that comes into perfection in spirit and soul and body and brings perfection to all creation that groans, waiting for that manifestation. Peter said it would not be revealed until the when? Last day. So I want to pray for you that you'll have all three of them. Is that a reasonable prayer? Would you stand with me while we pray? Our Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for the changes necessary so we can go all the way with you. We ask that the heart spirit say yes to Jesus Christ, covered by the blood, past sins forgiven. We pray that every person will let Jesus in the heart. Every person here, we just trust you, Lord. It's going to happen that way. For the soul, mind, realm, we pray that everyone in the mind will let the Holy Spirit engraft the Word of God, changing our minds from what we are to what we ought to be. Give us the mind of Christ instead of our carnal minds, Lord. We pray, Lord, that the mind of Christ will operate in us to the point where as the mind changes, the body will reflect the change. And that even with the power of the resurrection entered in the body of Jesus Christ and brought new life to that, that our new lives right now will demonstrate the power of the resurrection, and the power of the resurrection will enter our bodies, changing our corruptible bodies to incorruptible bodies, changing our mortal bodies to immortal bodies, so that we shall be changed by the power of the resurrection. Change us, Lord, from what we are to what we ought to be. And now we agree that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.